Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone. I am Apostle Johnny Floyd, and welcoming you tonight to, I think, is a very interesting topic. But this is Blog Talk Radio. And for months we've been talking about spiritual authority, and we veered away from that a few times, and we've discussed some things that the Lord had laid upon my heart, and I'm going to do that again tonight for all those that are listening, all those that are tuning in, and we're going to discuss singleness. This may be a different discussion, maybe a different topic than what you may think that is going to be uncovered here. But what I do know is that there is a message. And I've often heard people say, you know, the method to my madness. I really could not tell you the real reason for this discussion, other than the fact that this is something that the Lord laid upon my heart. But before we go into that, let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you. We thank you, O God. Father, we appreciate you. And Lord, this night, O God, for those that even may be married hearing this, O God, use them information, Lord, that they may have with people that are single. And God, that they would be able to decipher more of what you are giving us, Lord, and come up with a standard script that we have often used, oh God, to try and direct people through a journey of being single, Father. And Lord, I pray tonight, God, that every ear that hears, Father, begin to dive into the very essence of what is being said tonight. We bless you, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, uniquely enough, everyone in our lifetime have been single, and it has been a crazy journey for some, a strategic journey for others, and sometimes a deadly journey for people, ugly journey. So it's just been so many different things that people can attribute to being single. Some, you know, we've all been single. We were born and we was raised. Through high school, we either watched people have boyfriends or girlfriends, and some were dating more than one person, and so they spread themselves out and was not single, you know, in a sense of dating someone. And then we grow up and we think we're grown and we get married, and some of us end up single again, you know, through divorce. But then there are those that get married and find themselves single while married. That's a different topic, and that's a different discussion, you know, because you can be so disconnected from your spouse that you, when yet you're with someone, you feel single and you feel alone. And so there are some topics here that I'm going to discuss in marriage and dating thoughts, choosing women, men, love, even being alone, singleness, you know. But I want to address it from the perspective, if we peel back the onion and looked at what singleness originally is, from its original context, right, singleness, what that is. Because before we become married and divorced, before we are dating and things of that nature, we're single. And sometimes us being single, watching others in their life and what they're doing and how they are engaging, dating and things of that nature, drives them from being single to one day being married. And there's never met a woman that did not appreciate being married. And I met some men that don't understand, you know, completely what marriage is, but they engage the process. But I've yet to find someone that has never been single. But I have found those that are single but are not single. And I'm going to explain that, right? Because we have what we consider to be single from the perspective of how man has orchestrated singleness, right? And so if we can, just before we dive into a scriptorial background, we all have a definition of being single. We all have one. And that definition can say that I'm not dating someone, I'm by myself. And then, you know, we notice that even if that question is asked, you know, why are you single or are you single? Some answer that question by saying that I have too much going on, or I have this going on, so I don't have time to date, ain't got time for no relationship. And so being single goes into speaking about relationships, and if you talk to a woman how men are not, and they're not this and they're not that, and if you talk to a man how women are not and how they are not this and they are not that. But I've yet to hear someone discuss singleness dealing with themselves. You know, it has always been the caveat of being single based upon what someone has done to them, and then not really understanding what singleness was. Now, I don't want to make it seem like that I've known this all my life. It was just a few, about a year ago that really God spoke to me and sent me down this trail. And it was almost 5 or 6 years ago that I was sent to go to Colorado and preach into a marriage convention, and yet I was divorced. Another portion of being single, right? And so the singleness now, we have our definition. And so some of us define singleness in so many different ways that it is somewhat difficult to really grab a hold of the trueness of singleness, of being single, if we look at the definition of it. And so it is defined as a person who is someone who is unmarried or not in a serious, committed relationship or not part of a civil union. Now, that has changed over the years, because, you know, 5 years ago, when no such thing as civil unions, you know. And so just to give you an idea that man's definition of singleness is evolving. It's constantly changing. And so if it's constantly changing, that means it's starting to group things into what singleness is, of being single, that should not be even considered when you're having the discussion or living the life of being single. So now, you know, again, y'all know I like hard topics and stuff of that nature. So this topic is really a portion of a book that I'm writing. And what makes it unique is just the mindset now. Because if we really dive in and to see what singleness really was from the beginning of where God had instituted this thing, it was something that we all should experience. And if we all experience this, then there's something that is coming that you're not aware of, but that you cannot calculate or that you cannot depict, or neither can you prepare for, because singleness does not mean that you are alone looking for someone. It did not mean that when God instituted this thing. And so, and I know some of you have your Bible and you're asking yourself some questions. So I want you to go to, if you have your Bibles, to the book of Genesis, chapter number 2. And you were going to read something here, you know, because I want you to really dispel all of the the theories that are out there concerning singleness, because before you can get married, you have to be single, right? But before you can get involved with someone, and you have to be single, and to not know what that is can really drive you down a road that you're trying to orchestrate something when you don't have the authority or the power to make it happen. And it's only God that can do that. And when he does it, I'm a living witness now that when God does something, it cannot be changed or moved or orchestrated or developed or pushed down or pushed away by man. Because whatever God designates to happen is going to happen. So Genesis chapter number 2. And I want you to hear this now. You got the, if you don't have your Bibles, just listen to me. I'm going to read it to you. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. That word is, I will make him a helpmeet for him. Right? Now here we find the word alone. And so God institutes this word alone. And we had so many different theories when we preached this, you know. But I want to ride on this for a minute here now, because it's God that determines that it's not good for man to be alone. And now a few things happen, and so we go down to verse number 21, and it said, the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up his flesh, or closed up the flesh in the other translation, instead thereof. And the rib which God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Now, there are different things I want you to grab a hold of right here. That God doesn't give Adam his name until after he has given him a woman. Ooh, Lord Jesus. Before then, he was known as man. But it's not until God gives him what he wants him to have does his name become Adam. That's interesting now. Now, I want you to rest right there for a minute, because we would often give Adam his name before God gives him or makes the presentation of the woman. Now I want to dive into this now, because now God allows this to happen, and so we read how God gives in calling him Adam, right? But he causes a deep sleep to come upon him. Now, if we go earlier in the second chapter in the book of Genesis, we see something here, and I want you to grab a hold of it now, because you're just laying a foundation. I'm not creating anything that's not here. But now, verse number 7, the Lord God called man formed man out of the dust of the ground, and breathed in his nostrils, and the breath of life, and man became a living soul, and as the flesh of the man, right? If we go earlier in that, and so it says in Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26, it says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Now, this states that the image of God, if we read the Bible in its sincerity, and I'm talking about singleness now, I don't want to lose you. Jesus says in St. John 4:24 that God is a spirit. So the image of God has to be spirit. So now when God creates the spirit of man, he creates him both male and female. He did that at the same time. He didn't do it separately. He did it at the same time. So the spirit now has been created. But now in the second chapter, he forms man, right? In the second chapter, he forms man. And the spirit of the male and the female now rests inside the formation of this man because of the spirit that gives him life. And it is when God moves or takes a rib from him that Adam or the man becomes single, right? When God extracts from him what he wants to do for him, the man becomes single. Now, let's check out the singleness now. Here we go. Because in all of its context, if we really read this now, as man becomes single, right, Adam's mind is not written where we could find this, but so we don't know that Adam is thinking about a woman. And I know it's difficult for y'all to grab hold of that, right? But God puts Adam to sleep because Adam did not come to God and said, it's not good for me to be alone. But it was God that said it's not good for him to be alone. That's the Lord saying that. He saw this, and so she now identifies that she has to make him a workmate or someone suitable that understands him, right? Not Adam, but understands God. And now watch it now, because if you could orchestrate what God wants from you, you will miss some things, right? You won't be able to see completely what God is doing. So God shuts down Adam to where she cannot give God advice upon anything, but in the midst of God shutting Adam down, she is single. Because God is not using his intellect or what Adam would think that he would need. He's not taking advice of Adam. He has not given Adam a questionnaire, what she should look like, how tall she should be, how her hips should be, how her legs should be straight or bow-legged, or how her toes should look, or how her eyes should be, or how long her hair is. He did not take an evaluation or survey from Adam and say, tell me what you want. And now we created this thing now where we're going to God and telling the Lord what we want and not really understanding that God already knows what you need. Man, we talk about being single now. So now Adam is not giving God advice. I wonder now, what kind of position would we be in if we were advising God in our singleness about what we need? Now, I'm at the beginning of this thing now. So everything that has happened after this have been where we have stuck our big toe in it, we put our hand in it, we've given our 2 cents, and the majority of the time that we've done this in our single state of being, we have messed up. We haven't done it right. And that causes us to redo it. That causes us to ask for a mulligan, if you so please, or can I do this over again? And God has grace with us, and he allows us to do it just one more time. And so not only is Adam single, but I want you to, for all the women that are listening, I want you to hear what singleness is now. Because, you know, God extracts this rib from Adam, and now this rib, this bone that God has in his hands is in God's hands. He has not told Adam that I'm preparing someone for you, and he has not even begun to shape this bone that it would recognize, or that the woman that he's creating, the woman that he's developing, the woman that he's preparing, he's letting that woman know, I'm preparing you for Adam. She had no clue because she was in the hands of the Lord. Her singleness was the time that God pulls her away to shape her and to show her him, not the man, but God himself. Because Eve's eyes, or the woman's eyes, And her heart now, as she's in the hands of the Lord, is being shaped and molded by God. Now I'm going to do a little side note here. Because now, if God is doing the molding, and if God is doing the shaping, it explains why we can't deal with people that are control freaks, that try to take who you are and shape and turn you around, make you out of a paper doll, if you please, or a ballerina, and they're making you twist, turn, and twirl when God didn't do that with you. And it just bothers me that in a person's singleness, that someone is reaching out that are trying to control them that cannot even control themselves. That was a side note, so let me get on back in here. Now, listen to this now. I want you to really grab a hold of this, because the things that happen now in singleness now is God shapes you. Listen to me, ladies. God molds you, and God shows you him. He wants you to see his heart. He wants you to know he loves you. He wants you to direct your attention towards him. Because not one time in this reading of this passage do we discover that God whispered in Eve's ear and told her, I'm preparing you for Adam. He didn't do that. Oh, Lord. I don't want to preach tonight, so I need to slow it down a little bit. So now, as God does this, he does not tell Eve that I'm preparing you for Adam. He does not let her know that there's a man that I am molding you for. So he does not tell her that someone has requested that you have a thin waistline or a big breast or it's grown folks on the phone. So no one expressed this, and God didn't say that this is what Adam is looking for. So God prepares the woman now that her heart is directed towards him. Whew, Lord Jesus. So what am I saying now? If your heart ain't directed towards God, when he gets ready to make you as a presentation, then you will be bucking against what God is getting ready to do because it doesn't fit your criteria. Oh, Lord. I felt something there. Now, here's something that needs to be noted now, because if you are in the hands of the Lord and he is shaping, he's molding you, the only thing that becomes problematic is when before God grabbed you, before God began to mold you, you had some bad situations and so in your life with relationships that would make you believe that you are not intended or you're not good enough or that you were just not made to be married. But the devil is a lie. If you're a woman out there, I dare you to fall in the hands of the Lord and let him begin to point your eyes and your heart towards him. And as he does this, he's not asking you for your opinion. He's not telling you to tell me what you want. If the Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, I do not see where God has, in any sense of matter, has asked the woman or the man. So this is not just on the woman, but he has not asked the man about what you should have. And again now, in verse 18, now chapter 2, it is God that says, it is not good for man to be alone. Now, what I find interesting here, and you know, is the fact of how we deal with loneliness, right? Can I play with that for a minute? You know, how we now deal with loneliness. Paul Tillich says this, and I quote, "Loneliness expresses the pain of being alone, and solitude expresses the glory of being alone." So now we deal with mindset. And so how is, in my mind, am I dealing with being alone? You know, you can be offended because you've been left alone. You can go to God and say, "Lord, am I doing the right things, you know, in order that I have a mate?" And you can be going through all that mindset when that's not what God is requiring of you. When he's seeking for from you, yeah, God is seeking something in you because he has to be faithful to you. What God is seeking from you in your singleness is that your heart is not looking for what the man or the woman should be or how they should treat you or how they should be. They're looking for, God is seeking in your heart that you're parking your affections towards him. Boy, I hope somebody is listening to me tonight. There's too many of these single conferences out here where they're telling people that tell God what you want. Tell. Now nowhere in here can we find where it is written, whether it's being determined, that a woman told God, a man told God what they wanted in a spouse. If God was delivering this spouse to you, that means that you're single, and that means that he shut you down if you're a man, and that he's molding the woman. And so if he's molding the woman to that her heart be towards him, God knows what you need. So when it comes down to the presentation, and when you see what God presents before you, all you can do is wake up now and receive the goodness of the Lord. But I hope somebody hear me here tonight. Yeah, there's too much of this stuff going on in the manner of singleness now. And so now when Paul Tillich quotes this, he does this uniquely now, because now when he quotes, "Singleness expresses the pain of being alone," that means that you've been with someone, but that one that you was with wasn't yours. And so you struggled by holding on to them or to the thought process that you all would be together. Oh, Lord have mercy. If God had given you someone, then it's a smooth fit. It flows like the waves beating on the water. It's smooth like butter. And so there's no difficulty, and then there's no pressure, there's no pain, there's no work when God makes that presentation of the woman and presents her to the man. The word comes in now. What makes loneliness expressed through pain is when you were wounded because you were with someone and you gave your heart to them. Through this, you have to discover why. You know, why did I give my heart to this woman? Women have to ask the question, why did I give my heart to this man? I thought that she would take care of me. I thought that we would work together. But even as you go through the stages of dating that individual, you saw red flags. You just never said anything. In football, there is this thing that happens when someone commits a penalty, a yellow flag is thrown, and it's usually thrown in the direction of the penalty. And all play stops because there's a flag on the play. And now they have red flags that the coach can now challenge a call that's on the field. And so, you know, we have to get into the mood and the mindset of that when somebody wants to leave you, when somebody doesn't want to be with you, and there's a flag on the play, Don't throw the red flag and challenge them on why they don't want to be there. Just step back for a minute and let them go. Somebody may say, I'm crazy. Why would you say something like that? Because I've learned that if you have to struggle to keep someone and you have to fight to keep them, the day that you stop fighting is the day they're going to leave. And so if they're not interested in getting into the game, if they're not interested in fighting for this, then you are married, but you're alone. There we go again. You're alone. And if you're married and you're alone, the difficulty now is coming to grips with the fact that someone is in your house and that is in your life that doesn't want to be a part of what you're doing. And so is this the presentation that God has made before you, or is this the choice that you made while you were single? Ooh, singleness now. Can I continue to talk? I don't have much more time, but I want to keep going, you know, because it's critical now. It's crucial now, because now, again, now, it's God that said it's not good for man to be alone. And if God didn't take what man wanted as advice of what he needed, if God didn't consider that this man is going to tell me exactly what he needed, if God doesn't consider that this man is going to give me a physical description of her eye color, how big they should be, brown, blue, or gray, that really doesn't matter these days because people have contacts. And they wear makeup and stuff, and there's not anything wrong with that, you know. But are you describing young men? I got to put this out there. Are you trying to tell God that you know better than him when you're telling him what she should look like and then what she should be able to wear and where she should work and what her status should be? Nowhere in there have you or do you have the authority or the power to see where her heart is. And so, you know, women, I got to ask this now because it's critical in my thoughts now. It's sitting right here in front of me, and I can't get away from the elephant in the room. Because you say men are visual and women are too in some respects, in some regard. But, you know, the thing that I love the most is coming from a situation where God had sent me to Colorado to preach. And some of you know this situation. And I was angry with the Lord because, you know, he had sent me to a marriage conference to preach and to teach marriage principles and how it should be to people that are married, and I'm divorced 3 times. Uh-oh. Now, how in God's name would he send me to a place to talk to some people about being married and the success of it when I failed? Y'all may not ask that question, but I had to ask that question. That didn't make sense to me, and as much as I struggled with it, I still went because I believe in obeying God. And it was the Lord that sent me to talk to these people. But the biggest question that I had in my heart was, I wanted to know from God, you're sending me here to talk to married spiritual leaders, and you want me to minister or deliver a word to them, and I don't know what this word could be. But God, I want to know for me now. I have to know, God, you have to help me with this now. How in the world did Adam know that you loved him? Now, I was in Orlando, flying all the way out to Colorado. I'm on the flight, and I'm asking this question, and I'm laying in Colorado, and still God had not answered. And anybody that knows me knows that I cannot write messages down because I have. I'll be in the house, and if I'm trying to write a message down, there'll be a bunch of balled up papers in the trash can. And so I study a lot. And nowhere did I read in here. I read through this thing we call the Bible. And some refer to it as the Word of God, as these are the words that God had ordained or the words that he had spoken. And so nowhere did I see in the ordinance of the Word or any replica of what had been orated out of the mouth of God, did I hear him say that he loved Adam. And nowhere did I hear him tell Adam, "Adam, I love you." And so I'm curious now, you know, God tell me now, you know, how did Adam know that you loved him? And so on the flight, I never got an answer. And then I get to Denver and I land at the airport and I'm at the Marriott, the closest one near the airport, and it's cold. And you know, I'm coming from a hot place and it's cold, but they on time. They pick me up. And so as they pick me up now, they take me to my hotel and I'm quiet. And they're trying to talk to me, "Man of God, are you ready? Are you ready?" "Yes, I'm ready." And so, you know, and just get me to my hotel room. And so I go upstairs, I pull my robe out, and I'm praying, and I'm still asking God, how in the world does Adam know that you loved him? And now I want y'all to just bear with me here for a minute because it was difficult for me. And they come up and they get me, they knock on the door, and I have my robe on, and walk down towards the elevator. And I'm one of them guys, I don't like people talking my Bible, I don't like folks, you know, and they want to do it. And I said, "Go ahead." And so we get in the elevator, and one of the young brothers looks at, "You know, Apostle, where are your notes?" And I said, "Well, you know, I don't have any." And so he just looked at me like, you know, this man don't want to give me his notes. And so now we get there, and as we walk into the conference room, I had no idea that it would be that many people, 1,500 pastors, bishops that are married, ministers, evangelists, apostles that are married but having difficulty, but are willing to come to a conference and hear what a man that has been divorced 3 times has to say about marriage. And that didn't make sense to me, but yet I'm there. And as I walk up on the platform, I'm being introduced, and I grab my Bible, and so I wanted to open up to a scripture, and the Lord would not allow me to read anything or say anything. And as I stood there, I asked everybody to stand, and as everybody stood, I said to them, I said, "I need you all to talk to the Lord." And really, God was speaking to me, and I wanted to engage them in this process because what the Lord just told me flipped my wig. If I had enough hair and had a wig, it would have come off and turned cartwheels. And so it was the Lord that told me while I was standing up there, you know, because I asked the question again, "Lord, you still haven't answered my question." And I'm getting ready to speak to these people, and me not knowing that my question really doesn't have anything to do with them. But in the process now, God says, "I gave Adam a wife." Watch it now. Because there was something going on that just took place here for me to be able to have this conversation with these people that are struggling in marriage now, that they're having some difficulties here. It is not dawning on me that this has everything to do with while I'm there. And I said, "Wow, Lord, yeah, you know," and now I'm really flustered now because I'm angry and I'm jealous because God then tells me, you know, that Adam could look in the eyes of Eve and see how much I loved him. Now I'm angry now. I'm upset because if Adam could look in Eve's eyes, that means that God had her single and that he had her in his hands and that as he did this, then she was putting his love into her, and it was being directed at Adam. So Adam could not look in Eve's eyes and see how much Eve loved him because Eve didn't know who Adam was. God didn't prepare her for him. she didn't even know that God was giving her to him. She was a presentation. But Adam could look in the eyes of Eve, and he could see now the very thing that no one else could do and that God wasn't going to do, that he created this woman in her singleness, that she would become the very expressed right hand of God. Well, I hope y'all hear me here, because now I'm really just exploding my heart. And so as I looked upon the audience now, I saw these men and these women. Some had their arms folded, and some wasn't even hugged up, wasn't holding each other's hands. And I took my Bible and I placed it down on the seat, and I said, I'm confused. I just got through talking to God, and I'm confused now. And I'm perplexed about what I'm seeing, and I'm angry and I'm jealous. I'm angry because I just heard the Lord tell me that the woman that you have represents his hand in your life, because he shaped and molded her and put his love in her and pointed her eyes towards him, that she would now operate in a manner that you would not have to come to God and ask him for anything, because all that you needed, he either gave to you authority over, or he put it in this woman. And so I'm angry and I'm jealous. And my anger is that you don't see that. My jealousy is that I'm divorced. And I can't look in someone's eyes right now. I can't see in no woman's eyes and see how much God loves me. But you can look now into the eyes of this woman that God has prepared in her singleness, that she can now give you the very expressed love that God has put in her heart. And then the Lord spoke to me and said that now Adam can only love me now through obedience to what I have given him and through her. What? This don't make sense to me now. This is crazy. How can Adam love you, God, through her? And then the Lord showed me, because there are some things that I'm not going to do for Adam. And if he really recognizes the gift that I've given him, then all that he does when it comes to me, he's not going to push her to the side, but he's going to offer it through her to me. If he can look in her eyes and see how much I love him, then he should express that love to me through her. Now, that thing flipped my wig, and I told him, I said, I'm so angry that I can't preach to you all. I'm going to sit down here on the bench with you all. I'm going to find me a seat, and I unbutton my robe, and anybody know me, I had blue jeans on, and I had a polo shirt. And I said, I'm gonna sit down here with you all, because I don't know why God brought me here to talk to you all. I don't have a message, and they paid me to be here. These were my exact words. I said, so I'm going to leave you all to the Lord, because you're leaders, and you're married to these women that you told God that he had given you. And yet you're thinking in your head, both of you all, that you're on this last leg of this thing called marriage. And if God don't make a move today, then the next voices they're going to hear is from my attorney. And then I want a divorce. And so I left there. When I left that place, you know, and I started to go to the elevator, and I grabbed my Bible, and I walked out, and the young men that had escorted me down came to grab me and said, you need to come back. And I said, why? These folks don't want to hear from me. And so I decided to go back. When I walked into the conference room, all I saw were these men laying in the floor with their suits on, with their gator shoes on, so fresh they could be snapping, and women with these beautiful dresses on that had kicked their heels off, and they were either kneeling down or laying down or sitting on the floor. And I saw these men looking into the eyes of these women, And then I looked for the pastor, that the bishop that had invited me, and I couldn't find him, and I looked and I looked, and all of a sudden I saw him over in a corner because he had grabbed his wife. And he's weeping like a baby because he's looking in our eyes and appreciating now how much God loves him. Singleness, ladies, gentlemen, I know you're listening to me, is the portion of life that God has you to himself. And if you are a woman, he's putting so much love into you that when he presents you to this man, he will be able to look in your eyes and see how much God loves him. Fellas, if you're listening to me, stop trying to pick her. Stop trying to find her. Because now it says that he just findeth the wife, findeth a good thing. And we don't even understand the totality of that scripture. Because that totally means when it said that it was during the time period in which the families chose the wives. And so if the man chooses her now, he'll find a good thing. I don't go before that scripture is written. I will say to the men, fall asleep and don't wake up until God presents her to you. Then, my friend, you will be able to look into the eyes, because you're single, and you'll be able to look into the eyes of someone that is single that is being presented to you, and then you can see how much God loves you, because that woman holds the key to your destiny. That woman holds everything that God is not going to do for you, he has placed in her. She knows you. She knows what you're getting ready to do. She feels your history. She understands your pain. She knows where your victories are. And she's willing to be that very element, if you can see it in her, that God had empowered to put with you, that nothing that can come against you can defeat you. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and sisters, I'm passionate about this because we made so many mistakes. We've done so many things that have changed how we do things. We're listening to self-help books, and we still hadn't heard from God. I told the Lord, and I tell you, he answered my prayer. I told the Lord that I want to see how much he loves me in the eyes of the woman that he sends my way. Now, to some, that may have seemed like something crazy, something far-fetched, and it just didn't make sense. But when he did it for me, and I was able to look into the eyes of this woman and see how much God loves me, the next thing that God told me was, give her your best. Give her your best. And it changed my life. It really changed my life. So, you know, and what I've done is really shared with you a portion of a book that the Lord has allowed me to write. And I'm still going through the writing stages of it, but this particular piece right here, you know, is really pointing me in the right direction, because I could not have told any men or any women, and I know a lot of women. I know a lot of women, you know, and that have went through this stage of life and still trying to position herself for that man, and not position themselves that their heart would be towards God. Difficult thing, because nobody wants to be alone. We say we do, But the more we walk around and see folks hugged up, we don't know the story. They may be fighting when they get home. They may be fighting when they get in the car. I don't know, you know, but there's that desire that you have in your heart to have someone to love you in that manner, be it man or woman. You know, a man wants a woman to love her. I'm not, and a woman wants a man to love her. And the thing is that, you know, I want to be able to teach men how to love God through the presentation of this woman that God has given him. Want him to be able to offer God his best, everything that he is, all that he has, through her, straight to God. Because if you love her like God loved the church, you enter that mode of where you sacrifice everything. I know that sounds crazy. I know y'all think I done lost my mind, you know. And some of you may understand what I'm saying, some may not, and that's okay. You know, what I do know, what I do understand in all of this is that being single in the hands of God prepares you for that. Your motive can't be for the mate. Your motive has to be for God, because God shaped and formed Eve. She did not know she was being formed for Adam. In her eyes, the only thing she knew was the touch of God. The only thing she understood was the voice of God. The only thing she'd ever seen was the and was in was the presence of God. Didn't have anything to do with the man. Her heart was pointed towards God. How do I know this? Because when both had sinned, the punishment of the woman was that her heart would no longer be towards God. It would be towards her husband. Wow. The whole time, her heart was towards God. Not towards Adam. Not towards Adam. It was towards God. So, ladies and gentlemen, I just wanted to share that with you tonight. And it has been a complete honor, because this is a part of a book that I'm writing. And I'm really sharing my heart. And I'm really saying the things that God had given me to say without any inhibition. I'm going to fire from the hip, because some of the things I'm going to talk about is a lot of the mistakes that I made. I can't talk about other people. I can talk about me, you know. And I want every woman to point her eyes towards God. I want every man to go to sleep. Go to sleep and let God give you what you need. And when you awaken, you will be able to look into the eyes of that woman and see how much God loves you. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, can you pray with me real quick? Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you, oh God. Father, I hope that I have done exactly what you have asked of me to do. God, I pray that as your servants hear this, as they enter into a stage of singleness, oh God, in your hands. And Lord, if they're going through a divorce and don't know why, and Lord, I pray, God, that they throw themselves in your hands, that you can now prep them and prepare them, oh God. Lord, I pray, God, if they're just single, oh Lord, this is something that they didn't teach us growing up, oh Lord. They just didn't, Father. And God, this is something that I want the young people to hear and to know as they continue to grow. You know, go to sleep, young men. Young ladies, put yourselves in the hands of the Lord and let God prepare you to be presented. Young men, watch it. Work, do the work, and let God make this presentation for you. Lord, I thank you. Father, I appreciate you. Let every ear that have heard this, oh God, be blessed, oh Father, and let them be strengthened by this. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, I thank you. God bless all of you that tuned in tonight. It has been a joy, you know, always to be able to talk with you all and to share things with you. And this is coming from me. I don't do this for money. You know, nobody's giving me any money to put this on. As a matter of fact, I sponsor two other people, you know, because I think they have a very powerful message. And I want to give a shout out to my ghostwriter. You know, if she's listening, you know, I won't put a name out there because I might mess it up, you know. So I really appreciate you and for hanging there with me, you know, putting this book together. I know I have some deliverables to you and I want to get them to you. I also want to give a shout out to Tawana Haywood Bay. You know, I really appreciate you. Just don't know how much you've been a blessing to me. God bless you in all that you do. So for those of you all that are looking to write books, I will give you my ghostwriter, you know, to where she can help you. And for those that are looking to go into business, and if you're a woman and you're listening and you want to go into business, I want to introduce you to Tawana Haywood Bay. She has a passion and a joy to help women be successful in business, and she has a platform, she has a process. And so I want to just introduce that to you all. Other than that, God bless all of you. May heaven smile upon you. And until next week, I'll see you again. God bless.